Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
I'll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're back on the air, and we're glad you're with us this afternoon. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio in Hattiesburg. Bob, Kelly, and Dima, we're all here together. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, which is a great place to have dinner tonight or a great place to cater your next event. Dickey's Barbecue, we appreciate all they do for our program and for Southern Miss Athletics. Going to be talking a little basketball later in the show, but today marks the one-month deadline between now and opening day. 1 month from today, baseball season opens, it's hard to believe, with a four-game set against Lafayette University. We thought would be a good day to bring Travis Creel on the show to talk about the upcoming baseball season. Coach, first of all, thanks for coming on, but it's kind of hard to believe that 1 month from today we're going to be playing baseball, Coach.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it flies by, but we're excited, man. The boys are starting to trickle into town, and we start school, I guess it's a week from today, and we'll get rolling.
All right, 22 freshmen and sophomores on the roster, 16 juniors and seniors, and a couple of graduate kids, but overall a really balanced team, but a young baseball team, Travis.
Yeah, you know, younger for sure, but also experienced. You know, I think last year coming into it, we were young and not experienced, you know, and this year, a lot different. Six starters returning on offense, a lot of meaningful innings on the mound. Definitely a much different feeling than last year, where we kind of have a feeling of, pretty close to what the lineup's going to be, pretty close to what the pitching rotation's going to be, where last year there were still a lot of questions at this point in time.
Yeah, I don't want to skip past the first four games there against Lafayette. Obviously, you have to play every game, but I want to point out this. I'm sure you've seen this. You go from February 18th to March 4th. You play two games against Mississippi State, one against Ole Miss, three against TCU, and three against Louisiana Tech. Those four schools had a combined 145 wins last year. Travis, who made that schedule?
I don't know. It wasn't me. It's exciting, though, man. It really is. Because I think we have a team where, you know, we have a lot of guys who've won a lot of big games on this team, and we feel like we can go out there and play with anybody, and we're going to get a chance to show that early, like you said. So, you know, Coach Berry started it, or actually Coach Palmer started it, scheduling really tough non-conference schedules for the RPI purposes. And, we've continued that. I think you look around our league, and there's some teams that get off to better starts win-loss-wise, maybe. But I don't know if they're preparing themselves for conference play, and they're definitely not setting themselves up for having a great RPI at the end of the year. So, yeah, it's tough, but, you know, we feel like we have a team that can compete with anybody.
Well, Coach Creel, I don't know how you expect to win any games without having any transfers from Marshall.
Yeah, Kelly. Hey, Marshall's got some good players coming, but, hey, what a great time to be an Eagle, man. What a great energy on this campus and Coach Huff's brought. So,
boy,
excited to watch those guys.
And what a great political answer, too, man. You're getting good, Travis. I like your social media post on Travis Creel's social media. It says, "Fire Eagle Post."
Yeah, that's right.
I want to talk chronology a little bit. When the guys do come back, I'm sure you don't go 100 miles an hour the day they get back. Kind of take us through the progression leading up to opening day.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we kind of have to because so NCAA, you can't practice until your school starts. So a lot of places start a little sooner than us. They can get to ramp it up a little slower. We start school on the 21st, and our first team practice is that Friday. So we'll scrimmage really our fourth day back. So it's really important for our guys, to, especially the pitchers, to take care of themselves over Christmas break and do all their throwing and all their bullpen so they can get ready to scrimmage right when we get back. So really, once we get back, you're really looking at less than 4 weeks total before our first game.
And I know the guys are pretty committed to doing that, but what sort of check and balance do you have to make sure they're behaving themselves over the holidays?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's a lot of communication going on, whether it's me with the hitters or Oz or whoever with the pitchers as well. But, yeah, like you said, we got a pretty good group who takes this pretty serious. And, you know, we put a lot of trust in them. But, they, you know, we got a group message going, and they all send stuff all the time, whether they're working out or throwing or hitting or whatever they're doing. But, yeah, it's a lot on them. It's a very, very important month, basically, that we're not with them. But they really got to take care of their stuff.
Travis, unlike last year, and you kind of mentioned it just a second ago, the question marks on this team to me are more on the pitching staff. But when you look at this offense and you look at this infield, I mean, you came into last season, you know, 6-7 new players in that infield and in the outfield. You know, you're coming back with your Ozzie Pratt's back, Nick Monaster's back, Seth Smith's back, Matthew Russo's back. So you have a lot of veteran with a lot of veteran presence in your lineup, not even to mention in your defense this season. And that, to me, is the biggest difference in this team than last year's team.
Yeah, you know, it's much different. Obviously, coming off those two great years in 22 and 23, and really because of COVID and the draft, we just got hammered position player-wise. And last year, coming into the season, out of I think we had 18 hitters, we had three that had played important games for us. So very, very nerve-wracking, honestly, because you don't know how kids are going to handle playing in front of 5,000-6,000 people every night. But, you know, I think, you know, as you saw the growth throughout the year and this year, like you said, it's much different, where we have six guys returning that pretty much started every day for us last year. And we got a couple other experienced players from the portal as well. So, yeah, it's a much different feeling on the offensive side of the ball, just a lot less questions, I guess. You kind of the pieces are kind of in place.
So to me, the only question mark is third base. Have you seen where that's going to kind of play out, or is this still a something that you're looking at in the spring? You and Coach Oz are looking at in the spring to see who's going to win that battle.
Yeah, there's certainly several guys that can win that position. I think center field's still up in there as well. You know, third base, we got a freshman, Dre Barrett, who had a great fall for us. He's going to be a big time player. You got Seth Smith back. You got a kid named Jason Orton, transfer from Mississippi State, is a good player, and then another freshman, Ty Long. So it's really, really those four guys duking it out at third. And then, you know, there's five outfielders that can really play at this level. So obviously you can start three and one can DH. So really there's going to be one odd man out in the outfield as well. So, yeah, there's a couple of competitions going on, but the good thing for us is, I think we have depth in the outfield and we have depth in the infield where if someone's slumping or someone – rolls an ankle or something, we can kind of put somebody out there who can play at this level.
And you have depth at the catcher position as well. That's something that you didn't have last season. You had Lawson Odom coming back, Tucker coming back, and then you got all of those freshmen coming in as well.
Yeah, yeah. Last year we didn't have a catcher who called a Division I inning.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a huge deal. And, man, Lawson and Tucker have taken off. Lawson had an incredible fall, led our team in hitting, hit .388 this fall, caught really well. Tucker's been steady. Like you said, Coy Clements, the freshman from Oak Grove, really, really toolsy. Big power, big arm. He's got a chance to be a really good player, and he's come a long way too. So, yeah, that's one position we certainly feel more comfortable than we did this time last year.
Travis, talk a little bit about this opening opponent from the Patriot League, Lafayette. I doubt our fan base knows much about them.
Yeah, honestly, Bob, I don't either. Starting to kind of dig into the roster and the scouting reports already just because – there's not much else going on. They look like an older team. Last year, got off to a really, really slow start and then kind of finished okay. But, yeah, other than that, you know, I think a lot of the preparation will start happening in about a week or so. Honestly, they don't have the roster online yet, so they're trying to figure out the roster and all the new players they have and all the players returning.
Three things that really interest me, too, about the schedule. Mississippi State playing a midweek game here. I think I recall Coach Oz telling the Demon and I before Thanksgiving that may be a home-and-home deal moving forward. And if so, if I recall that correctly, that would be really good news. Louisiana Tech, 45-19 last year, and a three-game set. I suspect that's a series you guys would like to do home-and-home probably moving forward as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. I think, you know, Coach Lemonis and Coach Oz have been getting that in the works for a while, and I think you're right. I think that's probably here to stay, hopefully. Louisiana Tech, obviously, with the background of me and Oz working there and knowing, you know, Lane Burroughs, who worked here, and they're a great program, and it's 3.5 hours away, so right. It kind of makes too much sense to not right. try to play them every year. I think that's probably here to stay, too.
Travis, are you happy with your ratio of righty hitters versus lefty hitters on your roster?
Yeah, I am. It's a pretty good balance. I think every day we'll run at least 4 lefties out, and there's some days we can run even a couple more out if we wanted to. And then every day I think you're looking at probably 4 righties with the catcher position, Monastir, Gillespie, and probably whoever's playing third as well. Plus we have a transfer named Joey Urban who plays outfield. He's going to be a really good player for us too. So, yeah, it's a good balance. I think we can match up well. I also think we're going to have some depth on the bench where if a team brings in a tough lefty or a tough righty at the end of the game, maybe we can pinch hit and give us a little better odds.
All right, I want to hold you over if you got just a couple of minutes. I had another question I wanted to ask you about the scheduling and another new opponent that's on the schedule. You got a couple more minutes you can stay with us?
Absolutely.
Travis Creel, everybody, assistant coach on the baseball team, recruiting coordinator, hitting coach, just an extraordinary guy. Travis Creel will be right back after this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. We're glad you're tuned in today. Mobe Beignet Company, the official beignet store of our great program, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Check them out, Facebook.com. Don't forget, tomorrow we're scheduled to have Charles Huff, the new football coach, on the program. We're looking forward to that. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street as we continue our conversation with baseball coach Travis Creel. All right, Travis, back to that schedule for a minute. Obviously, we're familiar with Mississippi State and Ole Miss, great programs. And we talked about Louisiana Tech. I've never seen TCU on the schedule before. They're a perennial national power, and you play 3 games out there. Boy, that's a challenging road trip early in the year.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a lot like here, man. It's a great atmosphere. Obviously, they love baseball there, a great tradition. Yeah, that came to be, you know, Coach Oz and Coach Sarlos at TCU originally scheduled a home-and-home. And, you know, they were supposed to come last year, and then they ended up going to the Astros Stadium and playing in that tournament, I think, instead. Something came up. But I don't know if that's getting rescheduled or not. Something you have to ask Coach Oz. But, yeah, it's exciting. Obviously, they're a perennial power. And like I said, we feel like we can go in there and kind of, like Oz talks about all the time, on in the room and getting a nice road series under our belt.
So clearly they were scared to come here last year. Is that what you're saying, Coach?
Well, the message here is – play tough teams. RPI means everything.
No question. And you're better at the end of the year, right, Coach?
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I think, you know, sometimes, you know, we're 20 games in and maybe Troy or somebody else in our league has a really good ERA or they're hitting 400 as a team where, you know, maybe they're not playing the competition that we are. And I think it maybe gets us more ready for Sun Belt play and postseason. A little more than other teams.
Speaking of Troy, Bob, I'm steamed about what you brought up prior to the break about some teams being in a preseason poll and the Eagles aren't, including those rascals from Troy.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, Travis, really, in preseason, I think Demo made a great point yesterday. Preseason polls are pretty much useless, correct?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a disrespectful feeling. For sure, I feel like our guys have earned that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. So, if anything, we can use as motivation and prove people wrong, kind of like what this program was built on. And, you know, I think kind of a little bit of good bulletin board material for our guys.
Let me point out, Kelly, I saw all four games against Troy last year, and Southern Miss won three of the four.
So yeah, so what's that all about?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I wanted to ask Travis really quickly how Davis Gillespie has really elevated his game. He looked so good in the fall, and I'm expecting him to look even better this spring. I think he is a person that obviously had a great freshman year last year, but he's a player to me that's really not talked a lot about when you look at this 2025 roster.
Yeah, Davis is a freak, man. I think, you know, last year as a freshman, I think it was like 320 with eight homers.
Right.
The thing with Davis that he did so well coming into campus is he uses the whole field. I mean, it's foul pole to foul pole. It's big time power. One thing we're working on this fall is just really learning to on those plus counts, those 2-0s, those 3-1 counts. I'm really trying to do damage a little more to the pull side, so we can kind of up those power numbers. That's one thing he wanted to do because he's got the juice to hit 15 homers, and that's kind of the goal for him. So yeah, he's going to be a staple in the middle of our order, and he had a great fall. And yeah, looks great this break as well.
Who are you looking at besides him, and I guess you could say Pato as well, and as far as power for the lineup?
Yeah, I think Monastir's got a great chance. You know, okay. I think it was 11 last year. He could definitely be over 15. Ben Higdon transferred from Kentucky. Ben's going to be streaky. He's going to have moments where maybe you're scratching your head a little bit, but there's going to be moments where he's the best player on the field. It's real, real juice, especially to the backside. You know, he can hit some homers. I think Matt Russo obviously had a great year for us last year. I don't have the homer total in front of me, but it was single digits, and I think that could be one who goes as well. So I'll tell you one thing, man, we're physical. We're big. The opposing pitching coaches are going to be uncomfortable when our big dudes step in the box, for sure.
I'll never forget Monastir hit that home run against App State, just almost knocked the scoreboard down in the tournament. That's when we all started looking at the App State fans who were so excited, Travis, and started laughing at them and thinking, you really haven't watched us play much, have you? All excited about that 3-0 lead.
Well, Monastir had a tremendous fall, man. He really looked the part. Obviously, not the statistical year that he wanted last year, but if you look analytically, I know a lot of scouts and agents have told me he hits the ball harder in the strike zone than almost every second baseman in the country. So a little bit of bad luck, and then obviously he was dealing with some injuries too. So I wouldn't call it a bad year, but it was definitely not as good as he can do.
And when I think – I'm sorry, Travis, go ahead.
No, I was saying he's one that we're definitely looking to have a big year.
And when I think about a ball player, a baseball player, I think of Ozzie Pratt. Yeah. I know you guys must love him.
Love Ozzie, man. Love Ozzie. He's a different bird. He is fun to be around. You never know what he's going to say. He's going to say what's on his mind. I can promise you that. But yeah, just when he gets between those lines, it's on. He loves baseball. He's a baseball junkie. His family is just a big baseball family. So you know when between those lines, two things: he's not going to be scared, and he's going to be ready to play. And that's nice to have at shortstop every day.
Well, another thing we know about him, because he told us all last year, is he doesn't like Oxford anymore. He moved to Hattiesburg.
Well, that's why
he has no desire to go back to Oxford.
But that's why he's an odd bird, is that's where he was born. You know,
can you confirm if he's coming back with the Rattlin' Bog walkout song, Travis?
You know, I can't confirm, but I did tell him that's hard to change. That was
I agree.
Cult classic kind of type thing. Right. You got to keep that.
That's right.
Have we found a replacement though for D. Lynch? I mean, have we found a Danny Lynch personality replacement, Travis?
Mm, No, that's tough to duplicate.
It would take a transplant, yeah, I think. From
Is he back? Is Lynch going to be back?
Yeah, he's still with us. He's still with us. Yeah,
he's never leaving, is he?
I don't know, man. He's got a chance to be a really good coach. So,
oh, he's going to be a great coach, man.
I think, you know,
I don't think he's ever going to Louisiana, though. I can guarantee
you.
Yeah,
but you know kids are going to love playing for Danny Lynch.
I wanted to rewind the tape back to last summer, though, Coach Creel. The guys that played at the Cape, what was the general feedback as to what they got out of playing at that high level in the Cape last summer?
No, it's an experience they'll never forget. You know, Davis's team made the championship, so he barely showed up to school on time, but he was loving every minute of it. Usually, about halfway through the summer, you start getting texts from guys, Coach, I'm ready to come home for a little bit. But those guys that go to the Cape, man, they eat it up. It's obviously a beautiful area. It's great baseball. There's scouts everywhere. It's a great time, and I know Davis and Ock and, you know, a couple more, and we'll send a couple more there this summer that you know, had a great time.
And generally speaking, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the players tell me that you get to play at the Cape. That's pretty much a signal to the rest of the country that the bigs think that you have the capability to play at the major league level.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the vast majority of Cape players definitely get a chance to play professional baseball, that's for sure. Definitely the best league in the country still. There's some others that are trying to close the gap, but you know, if there's a big time prospect that we have or other schools have, it's either Team USA or the Cape.
Let me read something to you, Travis. I just got a text from a listener. It says, I talked to my friends at TCU. I used to live in Fort Worth, have a lot of friends there. They are very excited about hosting us. They look at Southern Miss baseball like a Power 4 SEC opponent coming to their stadium. That's a high compliment, but I think in the college baseball world, that's clearly how people think of the Southern Miss program these days, Travis.
No, it's awesome to hear, and you hear it from pretty much every SEC coach that we play against. Their pregame interview, they usually, you know, compare us to an SEC opponent, which is huge praise, and it's huge praise for what Coach Denson, Coach Palmer, Coach Berry, and what Coach Oz is continuing to do here, man. So it's a great place to play college baseball, that's for sure.
It's so hard to hate a team from TC. I mean, it's a Christian university. How do you tell them they're a bunch of losers? Christian. You know?
And they're
horrible. We only got to hate them for 4 hours a day for 3 days.
Well, no, that's true. That's
one of the greatest signs.
Well, then you'll be rooting for them because you want them to win after you sweep them.
That's right.
One of the great signs I ever saw at a college football game was at a TCU game, and this really pretty girl holds up this sign, and she says, I kissed a horned frog, and I liked it. Kind of where we are.
I remember the days when they were in the league, man, watching on TV. I remember those days.
Yeah, for sure. Travis, always great having you on the show, man. And we'll be calling on you a lot. Obviously, I guess you probably know we're all pretty excited about baseball starting, and we really can't wait.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Travis Creel, everybody.
And, I remember when our football team beat TCU, and they had a running back named LaDainian Tomlinson.
How did he turn out?
He did all right.
Was he okay?
Yeah.
Best thing we heard from Travis Creel right there was that he could neither confirm nor deny that – Ozzie Pratt is bringing back the Rattlin' Bog, and
It was a good song.
I hope he does. I remember going to the Tennessee Regional, and when he came out for the first time against the Vols, every Tennessee fan sitting around me where I was sitting looked down the round going, what? He's doing this one? And I was like, you don't know Ozzie Pratt, I guess.
All right, as we head to the break, we're going to talk to Alfred Worrell, basketball player on the team, shortly. And before we leave today, we got to talk about this rumor about Deion Sanders being the new head coach of the America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. How about that news?
I know. I just wanted, before we go to break, Dima, were you alive yet when we beat TCU? When LaDainian, what year was that?
04?
Was it? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
We'll have to look it up.
When were you born?
02.
My God. We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
4th Street Bar sponsors this segment of our program right there in the shadow of the Rock. Great place for lunch or dinner. Great place to catch the ball games this weekend. Appreciate all that they do. Don't forget about the podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher. Tune in, YouTube. I got the fourth quarter numbers today, almost 13,000 downloads a month. So we're very, very grateful to you for that. Men's basketball on the road, four-game road swing. A new face is Alfred Worrell out of the D.C. area. Had a career-high 20 points Saturday, hit six three-point shots. He's becoming a more and more valuable member of the team. Kelly talked to that young man earlier this week, and here's how it went with Alfred Worrell.
Well, you were feeling it Saturday, weren't you? You were really, really had a good game. Did you know early on it was going to be that kind of a day?
You know, kind of coming off of a Thursday, bro had a real big game on Thursday, so I felt real confident. And, you know, going into Saturday, you know, I just had a positive mindset. Just let the game come, came to me and stuff like that. And, the ball just found me at the right time, at the right place, you know. So, I mean, when you have a guy like Curbelo that could just get in the lane and just make your job easier, I mean, I got the easiest job just to make the shot, so.
But when you knew you were hot, were they designing plays to get you the ball, or is it just, like you said, let the game come to you?
No, it was no play really designed for me. You know, I just, the beginning of the half and stuff like that, the shots that I was making, it was just regular shots, you know, just finding open gaps, just moving around the perimeter, trying to be able to find a little open spot where for me to be able to get my shot off. So, you know, it was just basically just letting the game come to me.
The game, I hear more and more, and I hear this from coaches around the country, the game is more the three-point game now than a two-point game. That's got to favor your style, I would think.
No, it definitely is. You know, I work a lot on my three-point shot, you know, so I think it's a real deadly shot. If you can make it at a consistent rate, you know, I kind of started off the year a little slow, but I'm starting to catch a rhythm and start finding my rhythm right now, you know. But three-point shot is definitely like a shot that's more going in because it's a pro-level shot. A lot of pros and, you know, NBA and stuff like that shoot only threes and layups and stuff like that. So the mid-range is kind of falling away.
So if America had to pick one three-point shooter, you or Kobe Montgomery? No, that's a terrible question. I'm just kidding. But your longtime buddy Christian Watson said that you've always been a great shooter.
Yeah, you know, kind of just coming up in high school, I started being able to become a good shooter. You know, actually playing with Christian, I was actually a big man. You know, so I couldn't shoot no threes. You know, so they was all guards and stuff like that. So I really started working on my shot going into high school. You know, because I wasn't really the most athletic, so I had to have a skill that was going to be able for me to translate to the next level. So I knew shooting was going to be able to be a spot that I know a lot of people in the world struggle to do, you know. So I kind of just took responsibility to try to get better doing it.
He said you were a footballer, you know. Yeah. So football was the way to go, huh?
Yeah, so originally I was a football player. You know, I was a good football player. I played wide receiver. And, you know, I kind of just stopped falling in love from the game. And, you know, I started loving basketball more. You know, I really wasn't that good at it, you know, starting off. But
in basketball?
In basketball. Yeah. I was naturally gifted in football, you know. So basketball was just something that I just kept working and working. Like, over the year and year, I just got better and better, you know. So.
And then what made you decide to say, okay, I'm done with football, I'm going basketball full time?
My sophomore year after the season, you know, the football coach – at my high school basically told me that I had no career playing basketball. And, you know, a lot of people kind of doubted me with my basketball career. So I kind of, it wasn't like to prove them wrong, but kind of just be able to prove to myself that, you know, it doesn't really matter where I come from or where I start. You know I could be able to make a decision and be able to just run with it.
Well, you guys scared the heck out of us on Saturday. After that lead started to diminish and they made that run there toward the end of the game, what were you guys thinking when the Bobcats made that flurry toward the end of the game?
Well, you gotta understand that basketball, it's a game of runs, you know. So we went on our run in the first half. We was up 15, you know, and they went on their run in the second half. So I feel like basically, you know, our coach kind of wanted us to slow it down and be able to just, like, just relax at times, you know, because basketball is a fast-paced game, you know. So you can be up 5-1 time and then be down 10, like, just basketball is just a game of runs, you know. So I just feel like in the second half, you know, Texas State had their chance to come back and they had their runs and stuff like that, and we was able to pull it out at the end.
You talked about making the transition from football to basketball, but I want to talk about the transition from being raised in the D.C. area to going to a small town in Illinois, you know, to play obviously not the cultural hub of the world, there where you played in Illinois, and how you made that adjustment at a really pivotal time in a young man's life.
Well, actually, coming out of high school, I wasn't recruited by any schools. I went to prep school coming out of high school, and then I went to a junior college in Texas previously.
Yeah, about Paris, right?
Yep. And then after that, my recruitment, I had two Division II schools, and my mentors, and you know, I was going to take it, but I kind of knew that I was a Division I player. I just needed the shot. I didn't really get my shot my first year junior college because. I went junior college because I wanted to get recruited and be able to just talk to coaches and have a chance. So I ended up getting blessed to go to, you know, Johnny Logan, which is a nationally ranked junior college team in the nation. I had three player of the years in the last 5 years, had an NBA draft pick 5 years ago, Jay Scrubb. So I just thought it was a win-win situation for me. You know, I went there, took care of business, and my recruitment, I mean, I left with about like 15 offers, Division I offers, and was able to just to be blessed to come here.
Was the visit that you and Christian took together, was that by design? Were you guys on the phone saying, hey, let's go the same weekend or whatever?
Yeah, so basically what kind of happened, I guess Chris was getting recruited by them out the portal when he hit the portal. Me and Chris was always talking about how we wanted to play with each other. You know, since he was at Miami, he wasn't happy there. And I kind of wanted to go to a mid-major spot where I can play at. You know, I really wasn't too highly because he was telling me about how the high majors and the politics and stuff like that. So, you know, we kind of wanted to play with each other because I feel like what he brings to the table and what I bring to the table is something that's special. So, you know, we did talk about it. He was getting recruited by them and they end up calling my AAU coach and saying that they need like a shooter slash scorer. And, you know, my AAU coach sent him my film because I was a top 50 junior college player in the nation. And they end up finding out that we was best friends and stuff like that. So it just kind of worked hand in hand.
That was smart of the Southern Miss coaches to figure that out. Hey, Saturday, final question. When you had the hot hand, do you – and, again, I relate to baseball pitchers. Baseball pitchers will tell me, hey, man, I knew after the third pitch it was going to be a good day for me or that it was going to be a struggle. How about you as a shooter? Do you know early on it's going to be a good day or a long day? Shoot it or don't shoot it?
You know, I would probably just say, like, you kind of really don't know. Like, I mean, I know once I hit my first shot that I know most likely I'm going to have a good day, you know, if I keep shooting, you know. But, like, it's just basically staying confident, you know. You really don't know at times. You can make your first shot and then miss your next three, and then I think as a shooter, you got to have, you know, next play mentality, you know. So you can miss two in a row, and then you could probably run off and make five in a row. But, I mean, I kind of knew going into the game, my confidence level was real high just off the game from Thursday. And, you know, I knew when I was going to get that split open shot, then I was going to be able to take it. And, you know, thank God I was able to just get a lot of opportunities, you know, for my teammates. And coaches blessed me with, you know, some playing time, and I took advantage of my, you know, my time.
Final question, big road trip coming up. What does it mean to this team?
You know, we haven't got one on the road, so I think we definitely have to steal some games on the road. I think the biggest thing right now is that we're coming off of 2-0 wins, so this is real. We have some good confidence wins going into the road. So I just think the biggest thing right now is going into, you know, South Alabama and just being confident knowing that we can get them. I think they're like the number one team in our league conference right now. But I think just going into on the road and just understanding that, yo, we can win this game and just being able to get – I think if we get one road win, it's going to change our season, you know, so.
Alfred Worrell, but he says you can call him Al. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Alfred Worrell, everybody, on the Eagle Hour, and a four-game road trip ahead. I tell you, 2-2, guys, would be a huge victory.
One at this point.
Yeah, one. I was going to say one would be nice.
Because, you know, once you get that first domino to fall, you know, then the second and third one are a lot easier. But just get this first one.
This kid can shoot, too, now.
Yeah, you remember the song, Bob, by Paul Simon, Call Me Al?
Uh-huh.
He had never heard of that song.
Is that right?
Yeah, so he's going to, what do you guys do, Google it? Or
Shazam it.
Oh, well, you Shazam it now,
Shazam
Bob.
It. Yeah. Oh, Google is old.
It's been
now.
A long time since I've Shazammed anything, but yeah. But
Shazam is something that if you're sitting in a restaurant or something and you hear music on the you know, the speakers, you can go on your phone, hit that little button on your phone, and it tells you what the song is.
Well, Kelly and I are still wondering why nobody responds to us on FaceTime anymore.
Or Alexa.
Or Alexa. Well, she does respond to me. It's just Kelly.
I just got my MySpace page up and going. So,
well, considering he just talked about himself in a bathing suit, I don't think anybody would want to respond to him.
Well, some things we can't talk about on the air, Damon. That Kelly in a Speedo would be one of
those. We certainly don't want to visualize that.
I've already visualized it.
Hell no. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. I want to thank 4th Street Bar and Grill and DBAT on Hardy Street for sponsoring the last half of our show every day. 4th Street, great place, of course, for a great meal, and DBAT, a great place to take your children for baseball, softball training. Also, I want to thank Into Bay Spring Water and Genesis of Hattiesburg for their sponsorship of our program as well. I want to get back to news and notes here in a moment, but I got to tell you guys, I was a little surprised when I read this news this morning, but indications are that the Cowboys are leaning toward hiring Deion Sanders as their head coach. That really does seem hard to believe.
I just want to know what his Colorado players can't follow him to the Cowboys. I honestly, I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
but I mean,
he's always been the kind of guy that wants control, but Jerry Jones is the epitome of a control freak. So I don't know. I just don't think that'd work.
I think the report said something, and I was going to mention this in news and notes. Those are only really two things, but what the report said is that he respected Jerry Jones enough to answer the phone. So I don't really know what that is supposed to mean, but that's what they said. That's what Deion said. They said, "I respected him enough, but I love Boulder." But we heard that from Coach Hoff.
You can believe nothing coaches say when it comes to stuff like that.
No, but again, when it comes down to control of the team, it's Deion's way or the highway. But Jerry Jones says the same thing. Yeah. So obviously you got two alphas, button heads. I just don't think that in the long run, I don't even think that'll happen, honestly.
Well, meanwhile, it opens up, I think, a great possibility for New Orleans to hire Mike McCarthy, who I think is an excellent football coach.
But everything we're hearing, and Patrick McGee will join us, on Friday, our Saints guy, and it wouldn't surprise me if they really pursue Aaron Glenn, because the defensive coordinator for the Lions, because he was in New Orleans.
Yeah,
and now Clint Kubiak, the Saints offensive coordinator, he's being asked to interview for a lot of these jobs too. So a lot of this will shake out, in the next month or so.
Interesting. His dad was a really successful coach, Kubiak.
Yes.
And if you remember, his dad had a stroke when he was coaching.
Gary Kubiak, who was a former quarterback of the Broncos and OC in Denver at one time.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, news and notes, Dima.
Well, the only other news and notes is that the AFCA met this weekend, which is the American Football Coaches Association. Just want to get y'all's thoughts on this. They proposed to move the transfer portal to a 10-day window in early January after the bowl games. So that the January, the December portal opens December 8th, I think, generally, and then you get it for 10 days. This would move the transfer portal window to January 2nd to the 12th of the next season, which would be the day after the bowl games. College football playoff games would still be going on, of course, but this would be after the major, all the minor bowl games. And Craig Bohl, the head of the AFCA, said that the proposal was voted on and unanimously approved by the AFCA. So now that is going to move on to the Football Oversight Committee for them to vote and potentially put that
into
place.
That would be a good thing to do.
Well, I mean, in respect for the transferring it will, but I guess my only question is, and maybe Kelly, you have an answer to this, how does that work for spring football? Because to ask these kids to transfer and get enrolled in school, I think you're going to have a little trouble there. And maybe it's something that maybe we should just either push spring football forward a little bit or maybe just let them come to fall camp earlier.
But the most schools, like Southern Miss, doesn't even open school until a week from today, right? The 21st.
It's just insanity.
So from December 8th to January 21st, I think is ample time. I think under
but this would be January 12th to January 21st.
The portal date
that they're approving that doesn't open until January 2nd.
Oh, I thought you were talking. Okay, all right.
That's the only problem that I would have with.
Yeah, or push spring ball back
right.
to April,
or do maybe just do away with spring ball? Could they? I mean, is that a possibility? I mean, NFL doesn't have spring ball.
Well, anything is a possibility, but I mean, that's usually when coaches take the time to new coaches particularly take time to put in the playbook. You look at the Eagles this year; they've got a new head coach, a new OC, a new DC. There's a lot they're going to have to just absorb in spring. So, but it is a start, and I think Marshall probably had a lot to do with that. Let's be honest. I mean, the fact that Marshall didn't even feel like they had enough players to participate in a bowl game.
Let me tell you, though, that's not going to be that big a deal adjusting to the new playbook here because they're all used to that playbook. It's the Marshall football team that's here, and I'm sure they're going to have the same playbook they're used to.
No, we haven't.
I mean, Blake Anderson.
Blake Anderson is the offensive coordinator now.
All right, well, maybe.
So, because they're other offensive coordinator went to UNLV.
We're working with Coach Anderson, too. He's indicated he's interested in coming on the show, and we're scheduled to have Charles Huff on the show tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So we are certainly looking forward to our initial conversation with him. Going to be great to get to know him and meet him a little bit, I think.
I'm scared.
Just don't mention anything about a bathing suit, Kelly.
Well, don't worry, Kelly. He's not going to give you a scholarship, so you don't have to worry about working out or anything.
I wouldn't be able to earn it in either way. You know?
Yes, correct. So anyway, Charles Huff tomorrow, we believe, and we look forward to that conversation as we do the rest of the week. When does basketball hit the floor again, guys?
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night at South Alabama. Then they leave South Al, and they will go to San Marcos, a return matchup between the Bobcats and the Eagles that were here last Saturday.
Two big games coming up.
Big ones. You hope you could get that Texas State one. I think it would be a one that you would hope to.
Well, I'd like to beat South Alabama.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man,
of course.
It's
but it's hard to win on the road.
It's up in the air, though, you guys. 7-way tie for third place in the league right now.
There we go. All right, back on the air tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We hope you'll join us. Thank you for listening today. Until next time, Southern Myth.
To the top. To the
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.